Hey, sluts, I'm Aubrey, an Aquarius sun, Scorpio moon, Taurus rising.
I'm Danny, a Sag sun, Leo moon, Libra rising.
And I'm Carolyn Calloway, a Sagittarius sun, Sagittarius moon, Sagittarius rising.
And we're your astro sluts.
I got so eager. I'm sorry. I was so excited.
You were perfect. Good.
That was perfect.
I'm so hyped to be here.
Oh my God. Well, we're hyped to have you. Thank you.
You're the
so
first
much.
Podcast I've done as part of the Scammer book press tour that has asked me for my birth time and place before recording.
And
I'm really excited to see what you may have done with that information.
Well, we've done a lot.
We've
done a lot with it.
I am dying to hear.
Yeah, we're excited. We'll get into all of your birth chart information. And I feel like we always talk about, like, with astrology, especially when people are learning, it's so fun to have like an archetype or like a friend with like that, those placements that you can like relate back to. And you truly are just like the Sagittarius archetype. And I say that as a Sag, so I mean that in a positive way.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I often joke. So I would say I believe in astrology. Like, well, I go through phases. I believe in it more than I don't believe in it. I go through some phases where I just wake up on the wrong side of the bed and I'm like a little cranky and I like don't believe in anything. Like, no God, no astrology, world is meaningless sort of vibes. Yeah. But sometimes I really do believe, more often than not, I really do believe it in it. But what I like to joke is that regardless of whether or not I believe in astrology, I make other people believe in astrology because they see my birth chart and they're like, oh, so you're a Sag, sun, moon, rising, Mars, and Mercury? Like, of course you'd be.
Yeah. So for anyone new trying to get into astrology, this is going to be a good learning episode.
When you're like, wait, what's a Sagittarius like?
Caroline Calloway.
Yeah. I'm actually really glad that I'm a quintuple Sag because Sag princess that I am, I'm like, I want to be special, you know?
You are special.
You are.
I'm like, the best podcast ever. Thank you.
You just come on and we hype you up.
Yeah.
That's
kind
of our vibe, typically.
Incredible. I love that for us.
Okay. So if people don't know you, you are an author. You have your first book out. As of like a month now.
Congrats.
Exactly. Thank you.
Yeah. Congratulations. You are an icon, an internet icon for probably 10 years now. Is that fair to say? Yeah. 10 years. And you're an it girl. You are a certified by the cut New York
Magazine. According to New York Magazine, they said it about me. Just kidding. I've been saying it for years and I'm glad I finally said it enough that I got them on board
literally
with it.
I love that for you.
Yeah,
Do you want to give people a little overview about you if they're just like learning about you for the first time, which I feel like they're not, but.
You know, I've been asked a lot in these past weeks promoting my book Scammer, available at carolinecalloway.com, is like, describe yourself and like elevator pitch, describe it quickly. And I've just, my go-to sentence has been, I'm someone who famously hasn't written a book until now, which, by the way, how much video is there for this? Should I try to hold the camera in a way that doesn't give me such an aggressive double chin?
I think it's like a vibe, honestly. You seem like really cool and just so casual and like you just don't give a fuck.
I honestly don't. It's the working conditions here at CCHQ. Like, my next scandal is definitely going to be like the awful labor conditions. It's like there's so many fumes. It's like the work is like all manual labor, all on your feet. I'm talking about gluing the books and like putting them together with the fancy end paper. So whenever I'm not being my own like shipper and distributor and like book binder, I need to be horizontal. I need to rest the back. So I saw a tweet yesterday that's like, why does Caroline Calloway keep giving interviews from bed? Does she have a medical problem? And the answer is, right now, kind of. My back hurts a lot.
I think that's valid. I think you're just living your truth. You're letting yourself live.
I am.
You're just BFFRing.
Right.
Okay, there is the biggest spider on my wall. I just like have to take a minute to kill it. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
It's really bad. I saw it earlier and lost it. And so I'm glad we've reconnected.
I'm really glad it was the spider. I thought about asking you about it. Because I was like, low key, but did Aubrey just get like the worst text of her life? Because she kept looking at what I thought was the top of the screen with just absolute horror.
I was like, wondering if you were noticing that.
I honestly thought you'd got a text like your grandma died like mid podcast or something.
No, but it's an old friend that I just murdered.
You looked so horrified that I was like, if you had just like been glancing up a little bit, I would have like given you some shit for like, oh, haha, it's like lover texting, like, oh, let's talk about it on the pod. But I was like, I don't even think I should bring this up. Like,
I'm really afraid of spiders, and I have seen two in my house this morning and lost them both before I could kill them. And I lost it like underneath this little table I have behind the computer. And then I looked up and this spider was crawling all over my turntable. And then just within 30 seconds, it's in the top corner of my wall, which it is just now splatted on. And I'll just maybe deal with it later.
Do that later.
Okay. Anyway, so back to your book.
I'm loving this so far. This is definitely not like any of the other podcasts I've been on.
Well, I'm glad. I think that's something unique.
Yeah. No,
we have all Sagittarius, Aquarius energy going on here. And it's not going to be like the other podcasts.
Where do you have Sagittarius in your placement, or do you just have Aquarius?
I only have Pluto in Sagittarius, which is like the Gen Z placement. But otherwise, I'm just like a big Aquarius, and we stand by Aquarius and Sagittarius being like
best friends forever.
Yeah.
I love that.
Just like they are just different from the rest of the zodiac in a way that just no one else can like.
No one could possibly understand.
Yeah.
I love that for you guys.
Do you find that you get along with Aquariuses? If you pay attention to people's birthdays.
Yes, you know, my best friend who is like my personal astro slut. Do you guys follow Alice Bell? She's an astrologer.
Yes. We love
Alice. She's an Aquarius. I love
it on the pod. That's what we were talking about at the beginning.
I love Alice. I would die for Alice. Alice, I'm sorry you had trouble working Zoom. I love you so much. I miss you. I miss you a lot. I'm so excited about Alice's new book.
Yeah, she came on to talk about her book. Yeah.
Yeah. Is it available in the US yet or just in the UK?
I had to order it from the UK.
Yeah. Yeah.
The US in January, I think.
You won't believe this, but Alice, my Aquarius astro friend to my Danny Sagittarius energy, Alice and I have known each other for... We met in 2006. Oh, wow. So we've known each other. I know. Like so long. We've known each other forever. That's we went to this awful boarding school in Virginia, and we were both super unpopular there, and everyone was so mean to us, and it just really bonded us for life.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Okay, I was wondering, because she's also super like travel-y, has been like going to school and stuff other places, so that like,
yeah, I hated that boarding school so much that I cut it out entirely from Scammer. Like I was like, Scammers needs to be 150 pages. Ideally I wanted it to be like 140, but it ended up being 158, and I was like, it needs to be able, you need to read it in a day, 158 pages, something's gotta go. Just cut that Virginia boarding school entirely. So just didn't even mention it.
We're gonna want the tea in the next book.
Yeah.
So you have no choice but to include that next
time. No, I have a whole book planned. I wanna write like a book about my life up until I changed my name to one of the day books I wanna write is about my life up until I changed my name to Caroline Calloway. I'm gonna call the book Gottschall by Caroline Calloway.
Love.
Which was my original last name. Yeah.
I do wanna talk about the day book because I just like love that as a concept. I also think it's like, it's very Sagittarius energy. It's like, you just want to like consume something in one sitting because you might like, you might not be the same person the next day. You might not have the same interests the next day. But I was thinking, I feel like it's also like, I feel like it needs to, like, we need to make a meme about like reading a girl, reading a day book while eating girl dinner. For some reason, those things have the same energy to me.
They totally do. Right? They totally do. I love that. I think it would be called girl book, which is what you wanted to say.
Right. Yeah. I love the day book.
Girl dinner, day book, exactly same energy. I love that observation. That's so fucking true. Also, did you guys mean to match your outfits to your microphones?
We always do.
I'm That's always incredible. Green. In my life, like, we have a lot going on in, like, plugged into my computer. But let me show you a photo of, I bought a couch yesterday.
It's so cute in here.
Oh, my gosh.
And now it's all green in here, which I'm obsessed with.
Guys, I don't know if, let me describe what I'm seeing. It's a giant L-shaped lime green, modern, looks velvety maybe from this light, could just be cotton, but it also has like a removable modular piece. It's very like low rectangular pillows, and it's just the prettiest chartreuse neon shade of lime green. It's gorgeous.
Thank you so much. And I bought it from a really hot boy, so also a plus.
Huge win.
Yeah. Did you make a dad joke? Like, do you come with the couch? But, or did you refrain from saying that?
I didn't know. I said, when you get back from Ibiza, let me know if you want to hang out and not move a giant couch up my stairs.
Okay. That's much better than my idea. That's a much better idea.
I liked yours too, though. Maybe next time.
Yeah, literally.
No, next time you buy a couch.
Well,
I don't support it at all.
For me too, so.
I know I look extra ill. Usually I'm lying down, but I'm not nursing a giant Celsius like a baby bottle and wearing a giant Matilda Jerf robe. Did I just fuck up the whole recording? Are you still recording?
No, we're good.
Yeah, you're good.
Okay, well, anyways, this is very on brand for what I'm saying. Usually I'm more competent than I am today, and I look, well, it always sort of looks like I'm FaceTiming one of my best friends
when I go on these podcasts,
because I am. But I am getting over the most violent hangover. It's day 3 of the hangover. My mom and I, when the big New Yorker piece came out praising Scammer, we drank what can only be described as a violent and lethal amount of champagne. And we did not drink enough water that night. And these old bones, it's made it difficult in the factory because, of course, you know, it's like Victorian child labor conditions. There are no days off. You're sick. You still have to go to work. You lose a finger. You keep going sort of vibes. Like, it's all very, I'm glad. It's nice to have this chance to rest and to do something other than manual labor. But if it looks like I'm slightly ill, if I need to take some like seaside air because I have like tuberculosis, it's because I kind of do. It's sort of that vibe.
Well, I think you look stunning. I'm like,
thank you.
Drop the skincare routine.
I know,
like, you're kind of glowing.
Really.
Thank you. Snake oil. I literally do use it. I'm not even joking. But I also use a really good vitamin C serum, and I alternate with a retinoid, and then I put on a cream eyed moisturizer, and then I slug it all in with snake oil.
Beautiful. Love it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm so sorry. I've prevented us from talking about anything about astrology.
We're having a great time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Should we get into some astrology though?
I think so.
Okay, amazing. Yeah. So obviously when we're looking at your chart, we have to start with the Sagittarius stellium. So a stellium is when you have like three or more.
Alice taught me this. More than one planet in a sign.
Yeah,
exactly. More than three planets in a sign.
Look at you. Yeah.
Yeah.
So obviously you are extra credit with your five planets here in the first house too, which we can like talk a little bit more about. But I think like just starting with your opening line of the book, it like the I fuck to be fucked over, that opening paragraph, it really reminded me, you know, the sextrology book that I have.
Mm-hmm.
So I have this silly book that was a gift from one of my friends, and it's like all about the signs. It's like a Bible, like thick book about the signs and like sex. And it also, it's like iconically has like all the people my friend and her roommate slept with in college, like annotated in the sidelines. So it's like, it's a really great book.
Pass that down like a family Bible. No, that is amazing. It's give that heirloom to the kids and tell them to keep it dry.
Yeah. But they like, they refer to in that book, the Sagittarius, like in bed, it as like the good girl who's like servicing their partner, which I think when we look at Sagittarius in like other ways, you wouldn't think that. But I do just think that's so interesting. Like from your opening, it would like immediately, I was like, oh my God, I have to like reread that chunk of the book. But I think it also just like leans into like so many of the other themes in your book when you talk about like the guys with the porn jobs and like all those things. So that was just like something that I noticed right off the bat.
That is so interesting. And I totally agree. I feel like I've spent my whole life just sort of like prioritizing my partner's pleasure, even though I think people would think that I'm like very self-obsessed and selfish.
Totally. Almost like looking at, like they talk about it as like looking at sex as like, it's like a service job that you're doing for someone else, which is like, I think when you think about like a fire sign in Sagittarius, it's so like self, you know, like self-aware and like excited. And I just think that's always interesting because I feel like that's something also I've had to like deal with and overcome.
I don't think it's particularly like healthy in terms of like prioritizing your own pleasure. I'm not sure if it's like,
no, not at all.
My favorite part of being a Sagittarius, you know, like I would love to learn how to overcome that. Although, you know, I do think that I have some questions about my Venus placement in Libra because it's like my only major planet that's not in Sagittarius.
Yeah.
And I've always felt like my love life has been like the least tumultuous part of my life. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like I have like career drama after career drama, friend drama, family drama, like just all this drama. But I feel like the people I've dated, like I've been in love 4 times. Don't have a bad thing to say about any of those boys. They were all way better people than I was, way nicer to me than I was to them. They were great. I wish them well. I hope they're out there with a nice girl who is less of a burden. But like I just feel like my love life was always the part of my life where I made the least bad choices, or at least the least amount of chaotic choices. And what is Libra known for? Like what's the archetypal Libra?
Literally everything you just said. So Libra is represented by like the scales. So they're always very balanced. They're very like keep the peace, can be a little bit like people pleaser-y. Like, I don't know if you find like if you have a crush, you can kind of like morph yourself into whatever like they want you to be, kind of like can get along with anyone, but also very like relationship oriented, like super likable. Mm-hmm. Like literally everything you just said, like described Libra to a T. Yeah.
That's so interesting. Yeah. That makes sense.
It is just like very, just like girlfriend energy. Like you can just like be the person they need, or like you can just like find the right person for you. And like, just like have a non-chaotic relationship, even if other shit is chaotic. I do think it's interesting too, because you have it in your 11th house, which is like ruled by Aquarius. So 11th house is going to be like all like friendships, community. Those are like the themes of that house. So I do think it's interesting, like especially when you talk about like Natalie and like the crush arc there, like that is like so like so that energy. Like I have an Aquarius Venus. We talk about it a lot. Like there's just kind of like almost like an equal playing field in your life between like your romantic relationships and your friendships. Like totally. You're never going to like your partner is never going to be like way above like your best friend. Or like I think there's one part in your book where like something happens and you like just want to talk to like just want to talk to your best friend. You know, instead of being like, I have to run to my boyfriend, like those relationships are all going to be kind of like on an equal playing field. And like, obviously depends on the person you're dating. Like sometimes that doesn't work for people. Sometimes they want to be like your number one person. But I do think it also like could be easy for you to like have a friendship with someone and then be like, okay, like I'm maybe more like interested romantically or like I want to like level up from a friendship. Or you might find like your relationships start as like friendships and then like move romantically just because you kind of like have all those people in that same area of your life.
How do you guys feel like your knowledge of astrology affects your dating life? Do you think it makes you like less stressed out because you feel like you not like know the future, but like have an understanding of what's coming up, of the season you're in, the season you've left behind, the season ahead of you? And do you, how many times have you asked a guy or girl where they were born and what time?
Constantly. We have no shame in asking people for their information. I think we're both very like forward people anyway. Yeah. So like I have no problem being like, I have a crush on you and I'd like your birth time, please. Like, yeah, you know,
I
like
love that. I love
that. That's just
that.
Very my vibe. I love me it. Asking out the guy that delivered my furniture the other day. But
viewers at home, I'm chef kissing if they can't see the gesture. ASMR chef kissing.
Yes. But I definitely think like I find in dating for me specifically, like seeing someone else's birth chart, you can just like relax about why they're acting mm-hmm. certain ways, or like if there is some sort of like transit going on, you can be like, this is just like, honestly, to shout out Alice's book again, it's like yeah. about that so much of just like trust your timing. Like
honestly, I love Alice so much. Don't buy a scammer, buy trust your timing. Like I'm, and then if once you finish reading that, then buy scammer. Right,
yeah. There's layers.
Yeah. It must have been such a pleasure talking to someone who's like so knowledgeable about astrology.
Yeah. Well, we've also been Alice fans for like years now. Yeah. So it was like, so like we talk about her on this podcast all the time being like,
no fucking way.
Like yeah. And like, that's like how a lot of like both of us like learned from her. Like that's how probably like 50% of our knowledge like that we have on it is like Alice, our teacher.
No way. What are the sort of questions that you asked her?
We talked a lot about like the timing of writing the book too, which was really like transit wise for her birth chart, which was really interesting. She had a lot of like ninth house energy when she was writing it, which is like ruled by Sagittarius. So like the teacher and like the writer.
You're welcome, Alice.
Yeah, literally. So that was really interesting. I feel like we had like listeners write like little dating questions too. And we asked some like personal ones.
Yeah.
It was a cute episode.
Oh my gosh. I bet your listeners fucking loved it. I mean, who better? I'm sorry that I have to follow up the best person in the world for this episode. Not my best friend who's brilliant, smart, pretty, talented. Oh no. But that sounds amazing. You know, I also have some questions about, I would love to know what, I wrote the book mm-hmm. like in the month of May this year. Mm-hmm. What energy was I having then?
In May, Jupiter had just entered your sixth house of work and health. So that's giving like
a buckle up and get to work.
Yeah, it's like an
abundance. That's exactly
like,
how it was too.
That house is like what you're doing every day. It's not like your career. It's like what is like the work that you are getting up and like doing every day to like pay the bills or like to get you someplace else.
My God, I was working the same Victorian child labor violation law hours
that, yeah,
that hyphenated sentence didn't make sense grammatically, but think of that like a poem. Like I just threw a lot of nouns at you to give you the idea of it and just go with it. But I was working that, but like at the computer. Yeah. I called it instead of I don't even know what I just said. Instead of all those nouns about Victorian factories, I called that time gremlin mode because I was just so in the zone working. Mm-hmm. And you know what else I would love to know? We can do this later. I'm sorry. You have a literal fucking printed out sheet in front of you.
It's merely a guide.
Off-roading with just my questions about astrology. I'm so sorry. We can do this maybe after we get through your sheet. But I would love to see what was going on in my chart in September of 2019 when the Cut article dropped.
Oh, okay. That's a great idea.
Yeah, we can definitely.
We'll do that at the end. Yeah. So gremlin mode goes from this past May all the way to May 2024. So you have a whole year of Jupiter highlighting this.
So you are still gluing that end paper to the back.
That's so crazy because I haven't stopped working like 14 hours a day. Yeah. And honestly, I don't know how I'm going to survive. It goes out until 2024.
Well, it is interesting because this house is also your house of health. So it's also like maybe now if you are like overworking and that's turning into like more health issues, then you might also have to flip flop and like really focus on health for the rest of this year into next May. Yeah. Like finding that balance between those two things.
You know, before my mom and I had what future generations will refer to as the great champagne bender of 2023, I went for my first run in like fucking like, I don't know, like 6 months. So I am finally starting. The back pain is so real that I'm like, I should really stretch and like exercise if I'm going to be like working my body this hard in terms literally. Of like. Making books, but it goes until when in 2024?
In like mid-May.
Oh my god, that's so long. That's terrible news.
But then after that, it's gonna move into your seventh house of relationships, partnerships. So that could be cute. Something to look forward
to. Yes, that I feel so disconnected from dating right now.
Yeah,
I literally like I've never been less interested in. Just having a partner, like I just like I really do feel like I need to just work 14 hours a day and just fucking like I want to publish 2 more books before the year's over.
Slay.
Yeah,
you do have this like the north and south node just like flipped into Aries and Libra, so that's in your fifth. Aries is in your fifth house and Libra's in your 11th house. So that is like a very creative energy. So I feel like this is like you could pump out books.
Yeah. You guys honestly you guys remind me so much of Alice. And I hope you take that as a compliment.
So nice. Thank you. That's very
special. Love it when she says stuff like that. I'm like, yes.
Give me more.
I love it. Yeah, I'm like, oh, yes, the nodes. Tell me more about the nodes. Oh. You know, can you also do that thing that Alice does where she talks about those lines on the map and she's like,
I am.
Oh my God, yes. Slay. Okay.
Wait, I have notes for you.
Slay. Huge major slay that you guys know about the lines on the map.
Yes.
And I'm sure that's what their official name is. Called the lines on the map.
Lines on the map.
With just each first letter capitalized, like the title of
a story proper noun.
Yeah. Also, by the way, the only thing that could make what your setup more aesthetically appealing is if you also had a can of bubbly that was like in the green palette, like in a cool tone, in the same way that you have a purple one. Oh my God, I'm screenshotting this. Just you guys should have this. Yes, you guys should have photos of you looking like that. That was adorable.
Yeah, we're psychos. So
no, it's so cute and I love
deeply love a theme.
Well, okay, before we go into astrocartography, do you want to talk about color?
Oh yeah, I do. But are we recording?
Yes, we are. Okay. I snuck it in when our audio wasn't working.
Thank you. Okay, I do want to talk about your turquoise.
Yes. Tell me about color.
Well, has that like always been your color? Always.
Yeah, it was my mom's favorite color.
Oh, nice.
And I just sort of, I think I went through a phase when I was little when I really liked red, which is sort of why my, like the brand red. Color is like, that's the secondary color for it. Since there was a time when I did like red, but it was a pretty short lived phase.
Uh-huh.
And I, you know what? If I'm really thinking about it, there might have been a pink phase when I was very little because I just wanted to fit in at school. Totally. And that's what the girls in the 90s were.
Yeah.
We're liking the
but
popular
the cool girls.
Girls
in the 90s were turquoise girls.
Yeah, and you know what's even worse is that I didn't even have the balls to be a turquoise girly until like fucking middle school or high school. All the elementary school days I was like, yeah, I love pink, please like me, you know. Aww. Like
yeah, that's
but tell me about turquoise, because I really love it. And I just like even like my I'm holding up a turquoise quilt to the camera right now.
I don't know specifically. I know like blues are just like, cause it's like nature, like calming, like serene energy, but I don't know specifically about like turquoise too much.
We just noticed that you also had a color theme.
Yeah.
I also would like to point out that I really like the pink, green and turquoise.
I know.
Like, I like the color scheme of the three of us quite a lot.
Yes. 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 It's giving Powerpuff Girls.
It
yes.
is.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
is very
and I love that for us.
And
I
we always too. Have people being like, oh my God, and then I could be blue and then you could be the Powerpuff Girls. And we're always like, yeah, but I think you are
you already
our true.
Are.
Yeah, true no, character. I'm true blue energy for sure. For sure.
I love that. I did have a fish named Turquoise when I was like 4. It was a betta fish. It was turquoise. Turquoisey, I would call it.
That's incredible.
That's my connection to the color. Or I guess, well, now that I'm thinking about it though, turquoise is December's birthday.
Yeah, I didn't even know that until later.
But now that I'm like, I said that and then I'm like, wait, I have a ton of turquoise jewelry because that is like the December. Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Love that. Okay.
And your new couch, by the way, just compliments your it just looks so good. Thank the lime so green much. With the like Kelly green with the like true like watermelon magenta pink. It's so good.
It is really great news.
My next project is to obviously fill this wall with art. I just moved here like it May 1st was my move in. So we haven't quite reached the wall decor yet.
No, honestly, just for podcasting purposes, the blank is better because you guys pop and there's less visual distraction.
That's true.
True. Thank you.
Okay. So the lines on the map. Let's jump back into that.
Let's get into it.
Yes. Okay.
So it's called astrocartography.
Love.
We are not like big experts in astrocartography, but we like to dabble. And I made a few observations. So the East Coast of the United States is like sandwiched between your sun line and your Mercury line. So your sun is like your core, who you are, and Mercury is writing and communications and like social media.
No
so I think
way.
That's very interesting that like the whole East Coast, it's like literally they like go right along the East Coast. And you know what also is right by those two lines is the fucking UK, dude.
Really?
So, like literally your Mercury line goes straight through England and right like off the coast, like through like France is your Jupiter line. So it makes total sense that your writing would have like blown up in that area because of that area. Like it just is to it.
That's so interesting because I definitely feel like I want to like live in America and like be part of like New York media, but I always want to write about England. Like I always think that like I get so much inspiration from my writing from this bitch loves a castle is what I'm trying to say. I'm
absolutely
a slut for a little castle.
No, I love that. That's so interesting. Though
I'm gonna make a competing podcast called Castle Sluts, and it's gonna be like,
honestly,
hey,
that'd
castle
be amazing.
That's
I
great. Kind
of love it.
Yeah, I do too. I'll have you guys on as guests. Don't worry.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Let me see. Oh, I guess for Mercury too, like in your birth chart, Mercury is in your first house in Sagittarius.
Like, how is Meowing to get out for me to open the door? He is like, he's not the brightest button on the cardigan. And so none of my doors shut properly, but he has not yet figured out that if you just paw the door a little bit, it will open. He literally, he stands next to a door that's ajar and just is like, mother, 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 please.
Open the door for me.
Yeah. Oh, I would love it if Matisse had a little British accent.
I think he does.
Might, actually. I think he might. I think you're so right. But I'm so sorry for interrupting you.
No, you're good.
I'm a mother. I have children that are child that needs my attention.
What you gotta do. But of course, you have that Mercury in your first house in Sagittarius. But I think that has so much to do with like why you've always wanted to write memoirs. It's like you are interested in like expressing yourself and like bringing yourself like out into the world and communicating about the self and your like experiences.
That is so interesting. So my Mercury's in Jupiter.
In your first house.
In your first house.
Yeah, you can. I'm so sorry, listeners at home. I know this is a big change from Alice straight to me. Like, so my Mercury's in Jupiter, right? Like, I'm so sorry. I'm really doing my best here.
I also think like Sagittarius Mercury's, it's not like the most like easily conveyed. Like you're not like the best communicator always. I have this placement too. And I just feel like sometimes I like don't. Like people, like what I'm trying to say is not always like coming out exactly how I mean, or people don't understand what I mean. But I think that's like kind of like a nice arc of like your story being like told through someone else's like voice originally. And then like now you have like the opportunity to like put your book out and have your words. But I kind of think that like struggle to like who's telling your story and like who's the voice behind it kind of has that Sagittarius Mercury energy of being like, I am trying to tell you what's going on, but like all these other people or these other outlets are like kind of like taking my story and like putting their own, like instead of you just being able to share.
Totally. And sometimes I feel like low-key borderline autistic in the sense that like I will express something to a friend and I will, or more often to like an acquaintance. My friends know me well enough that they like, this doesn't happen so often with people who know me super well, but like with an acquaintance, like sometimes I find like I'll make a joke that like they just, I don't know, that they thought I was being meaner than I meant to be, or they all talk about something and express like that I was really sad when I really like wasn't that upset. Like it was just like more like a passing sadness, and I'll just like be way too dramatic about it or something like that. Yeah. So I totally find that like as much as I want to, I think part of the reasons I want to be a memoirist so bad is that sometimes I do struggle to like express myself like in the moment.
No, I think that's so interesting. I mean, like Aubrey knows, like my whole thing in life is like, I just want to write books. Like I want to be like, so no I get way. You, but I think it's very similar in that, like, I want to like tell my story in like a thoughtful way, because I don't always day to day, I'm just like saying shit, and sometimes it hits, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes that's not what I meant, you know?
It does not hit. Yeah, no, I always say that writers are the people who think of the right thing to say 2 to 5 years after the right moment has passed, you know?
Totally.
Like, if only I could go back 7 years in time and like give that person the perfect retort or piece of advice. Like, man, I would have killed it. I would kill it if I had a time machine. But that's so cool that you want to be a writer. What sort of books are you working on?
I'm not working on anything right now. I have like a lot of, I had like a blog, like fashion blog, like 8 years ago, whenever that was like a thing. So I always like wrote, and I had like newsletters and things like that, but I want to write like a creative, like manifesto-y guide, kind of like self-helpy. And then I want to write like a fictionalized version of myself. Like I want to write like a fiction, but I want it to be about me. I'm a Sagittarius. I want to emphasize it way too much that it's not real. But yeah, I want to write like a West Loop advertising girly book.
Love.
I think it would be a hit.
I love it. Yeah. And autofiction is so popular.
Yeah.
It's like so fucking trendy too. A publisher would eat that up. And especially I would love the idea of a creative manifesto thing, because I just feel like I feel like we got the artist's way, and then there just like haven't been enough good books like about the nitty gritty creative process since then. So like, I cannot wait to buy both of those books.
Thank you.
I'm the demographic for both of those.
Thank you so much. But yeah, I think exactly, like, things have just changed so much. And I think, like, everyone can be an artist and everyone can do things. You just have to, like, have to just believe in yourself, you know? That's the kind of shit I want to write.
I love.
Inspiring. Thank you.
I love.
I guess also on, like, same Sagittarius energy, I feel like so much, like, we're big, like, celeb memoir. We're fans of that podcast, but I think something that came up so much when you were talking to them is, like, truth. And I guess, like, for me, it just, like, doesn't matter. And I just think it's such, like, a Sagittarius, like, interesting theme. I think Sagittarius are often known for, like, pushing and embellishing the story. And, like, some people take that as lying, and some, like, I just think, like, I mean, from my experience of you, I think you're, like, telling your truth. Like, I think you're telling your story. And I think you, as, like, an artist, have the opportunity to, like, do that. But I think it is interesting from, like, other perspectives. Like, I don't know. Like, do you owe anyone the truth? What is the truth? Like, just that kind of, like, those themes are very Sagittarius, like, very philosophical, kind of, like, those kinds of themes. I just think it's interesting that's, like, come up a lot surrounding you, because that is, like, very Sag energy.
My theory is that as a memoirist, you can take creative liberties with any detail in the story that doesn't actually, like, change the main point of the story or, like, the main meaning of the story. Like, if you have a story that's about, I don't know, something that happened at the grocery store, and you just, for what you decide to make the event happen the same day as something else, just to, like, make the plot go faster. Or if you can't remember what you were wearing, so you just, like, make up an outfit. Or if you like, any detail that doesn't actually, like, mess with the plot, I think you, like, are, like, fundamentally change the events you're describing. I think you're allowed to be creative with it. But if you, anything that, like, starts to fuck with the event itself, I think that you have to, you can't dilly-dally in that, no, that area. You gotta be a stickler for facts. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think a lot of people would have a problem with, like, me saying that something happened the same day as something else for plot. Right. I think a lot of people would look at that and be like, that's a lie. But, yeah, I totally agree. Like, for me, it's like, okay, that's irrelevant to this, like, the events of the story. It just makes the book run smoother.
No, that's so interesting. It's nice to hear from your perspective too, because I'm always like, I just, like, I don't know, like, Ob knows me. I'm a big picture person. Like, I don't, like, that kind of stuff doesn't trip me up, but it doesn't mean that, like, it can't trip up other people. So it's like, I think that's such a nice take.
Totally. Yeah.
Cool.
Something else that is also very Sagittarius that we haven't hit yet is, like, higher education.
Oh, really?
Next
no
on
fucking
my list.
Way.
Yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
No way. I love higher education.
I know.
Wait, why is it so Sagittarius?
It just, that's, like, what Sagittarius rules.
Yeah. So Sag rules, like,
no way,
like, travel, higher education, like, that's those kinds of, like, institutions, like, universities.
Wow. The Caroline Holloway brand is actually so Sagittarius. It's it's like travel and higher education. Are you kidding
me? I know, it's so funny. And I think just, like, too, like, obviously you went to, like, from, like, boarding school to NYU to Cambridge, and then even when you talk about, like, Yale and, like, the other, like, that's all just, like, that kind of, like, it's all in that world. It's so interesting. And I want to hear, and then in your next book, when you're going to talk about your Virginia experience, your other boarding school experience, all that shit, it's so Sagittarius.
Alice will be a main character in that.
I can't
wait. For sure.
And then we'll have you both back on the podcast together
that would be so fun. Yeah, that is crazy. I didn't know that about Sagittarius. I love that. That's so grand.
So Sagittarius also rules the ninth house, which is where your Chiron is, which I don't know if Alice has taught you. Chiron is, like, the wounded healer. It is where, like, we find our, like, deepest, like, core wounds, and it's where we, like, can heal ourselves, but also others. And so that is in your house of like philosophy, higher education, travel. So I feel like all of these like escapades that you have found are the core of who you are that you like now get to share, and like other people get to like learn about all these different things and your experience and what it's like. Mm-hmm. Is just also yeah. So that
I've always felt like my life is like in service of the books that I want to write, like living these plots and yeah. So that I can write about them. When I was little, I definitely thought that the castles would make me truly happy. Little did I know, they were just like, the depression was quite strong and the castles would just be like a minor bump of delight, you know, like
yeah.
Not me comparing delight to cocaine, but anyways, it would just be like yeah. a minor little hit of yeah. pleasure. But I stuck with it, and I still wanted to pursue those worlds because I just always felt like the greatest contribution that I could give, honestly, like society, like wouldn't be as a doctor or, right. You know, a scientist. Like it would be writing books about travel and higher education. That's so crazy. That's
yeah.
Really interesting. I love this.
Okay, this is kind of a segue, but did you watch like the most recent season of Never Have I Ever?
No, what is it?
Okay, that show on Netflix. Good. It's so good. It's called Never Have I Ever, but the main character is obsessed with going to Yale. Like it's like she spends all of high school like it's Princeton. Yeah. Oh, someone else is Yale.
Yeah.
But it's Princeton, but mm-hmm. she's just dying to go to Princeton, and there like literally is a scene where like they ditch their New York City like field trip and she just like goes to Princeton and is like walking around the campus and stuff, and I just was like picturing that. During like, that part of your book.
What is Never Have I Ever? I've never even heard of it.
It's such a cute show. It's like high school arc. Like I think it's literally four seasons, and it follows like Davey, the main character, like through high school. But it's like it's a Mindy Kaling one. But she wrote it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's really cute, and it's like it's just like a really good, like she's just like a real girl. Like she's angry and she's pissed off and she has like it's just
she like
such
fucks
a good,
up yeah, like her like, friends are like mad at her and you're like yeah Davey you kind of fucked up here
it's
like,
such a good portrayal of like yeah just like a real high school girl and like the shit you have to go through.
I'm absolutely going to put this on in the background.
I think you would like
factory.
It yeah
so I mean I cannot stop to watch this show, but I will listen to it like an audiobook while I glue my little books together.
I think it's a good show to do that. Yeah, like you can understand what's happening just by listening.
I love that she does that in that show. I really recommend it. I think it's very inspiring and it like it's a little delusional, but I say this in the book. Like, I think sometimes when you're running low on hope and the odds are really stacked against you, or maybe the odds are stacked against you, or you're just having trouble believing in yourself. Maybe you're just running low on confidence mm-hmm. and you need some hope. I think, you know, self-delusion can be a really good substitute to get you through some the hard times.
Yeah, we're a huge delusion people. We really believe in it too. We recommend it to everyone.
I love the sentence. Yeah, we're huge delusion people.
We really are.
Incredible.
A little more fun that way. Do we want to get into like the release? Do we want to do you have other?
Yeah, let's get into the release and then I can talk about Pluto at the end.
Yeah,
maybe.
Cool. Okay, fun. Plan. Okay.
I know. By the way, for the listeners at home who aren't seeing any video, these girls have papers, plural. Plural papers.
We got Google Docs. With, yeah.
Printed
covered
out.
Covered with Google typing. Docs. These girls came prepared.
Because we also would just talk shit for 2 hours. So we got
something to root us back in, be like, wait, what were we here
Why
to do?
Why are we doing that?
Yeah, yeah. We're on a podcast. Right.
So I literally took the daily horoscope for your release of the book. I'm using June 12th. Does that work? Like when you started shipping out? Cool.
Yes.
So the moon was in, this is Annabelle Gatt too, to credit the astrologer. The moon in Aries connects with Mars in Leo, inspiring a fun, exciting atmosphere. You might feel a bit competitive, romance and creativity flow. The moon aligns with the sun in Gemini, which can bode well for communication. I'm like, what a special release day.
Yeah, that is such a special release day. I fucking love that. Thank you so much for looking that up.
Yeah, I thought that was nice. And too, like the moon in Aries, like, and then also Mars in Leo, you have all that like fire sign energy on your side. Sagittarius.
Also, like, you might be feeling a little competitive.
Right.
What?
None of that.
When you read that. Yeah.
I know. Like perfect little, just like, gotta get that shit out there. But also like good for communication. So obviously, like you got a lot of good write-ups. People were talking about it. People were excited. Like, I think that's just like, it's fun to like look back on things. I feel like too, like things that already happened, and you're like, oh my God, yeah.
Have you read the horoscope for the first day that you put out your first episode?
Maybe we haven't. We have like everything in Libra though.
Yes. We have like a Libra stellium for our podcast.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
Very, very sweet lovey-dovey vibes over here.
Yeah. As someone who has only one non-Sagittarius major planet, or at least like, do I have other planets and not in Sagittarius?
The farther away ones, yeah. The next like closest is you have Jupiter in Aquarius.
I have an Aquarius.
Saturn okay. in Aquarius.
But yeah, so Jupiter in your 10th house is in Virgo. And I think that is like, Jupiter is obviously like expansion and abundance. And then the 10th house is like your public life. So I feel like you've always like, from whether it's like Instagram or like the press or like, and you know, any kind of like public facing outlet, like that always very much like propelling you outward into the world and like through your career, very like abundant and exciting and like very like pushing you out there.
Totally. And I've always wanted to be famous. I've always been pushing myself out there. Yeah. Like, totally.
Literally. Yeah.
Which then actually the Saturn being in your third house makes even more sense than Jupiter being there, because you have all this abundance in being in a public role in your career. But then there is this restriction on your third house of communication and like writing. So it's like you are famous, but then like what, there's something that is still holding you back from like doing the thing that you want to be doing in order that like, or like that you're saying you want to be doing.
Totally. No, I really, God bless the girlies out there who can live events worth writing about and write about them in more or less real time. I mean, like no one's out there with a laptop at like on the dance floor or whatever, or like on the back of a Vespa having an adventure in Rome while currently typing it. Like I'm obviously like not saying like, I wish I was that, because that doesn't exist. But I do think that there exists some girls who like can then go home or like wake up the next day or even the next day later that weekend, but like within sort of real time, start to make that into art. Not me. I need to move to Florida where I don't know anyone and live a monastic life where like I'm either only living the plot or I'm only recording the plot. Like I have no ability to do both at the same time.
And Saturn is kind of like a late bloomer too, so like I think you will be able to work through those restrictions you feel in those like writings and communications like over time, and they will like blossom.
God,
like,
I fucking like, hope so,
quote unquote, like later in life.
Yeah.
Have you guys had your Saturn return yet?
Mm-mm. We're next.
Yeah in like 2 years.
Yeah,
we will.
No way. Yeah. You know, I in one of my phases when I was like really into astrology, I looked up when my Saturn return started, and it started almost the day. So like I didn't move to Florida until March of 2022.
Okay.
But it took a long time to figure out like getting the movers and mm-hmm. like really deciding to do it and like figuring out an arrangement with my family where I could like take care of grandma and stay in the condo and like just sort out all the logistics of it. But almost to the day that I decided I was going to like leave New York and like go sort out my life and finally fucking write this book was like almost to like the day that the Saturn return started.
Which was in your third house then.
Yeah.
Of like writing and communication.
Mm-hmm. I love that. What are the differences?
Also, like, people close to you, too.
Yeah.
So, like, not necessarily family, but that does kind of make sense. Like, the people around you and trying to figure out those, like, logistics of, like, how you're going to live and what
you're
going to do.
Who's going to be there. Around you. Yeah.
Are you guys nervous for your Saturn returns? Or excited? Or
I don't know.
Neither or both?
I don't know. Mine's in my seventh house. So, that's, like, very it's giving romantic. Drama, perhaps.
drama.
So we'll see. I don't know. I think it's so interesting because it's like, it's just one of those things where I feel like it could either be like so posy, like you're just like propelled into like posy vibes, or you could just be like, fuck. Like it really could go either way. Where is yours?
The 12th house.
Oh, yeah, that's scary.
Isn't that the one of like mysteries and big life or death questions?
Yeah, it's just like your subconscious things that are like hidden, so it is just giving like I just don't even feel like I can even prepare for mine
because
I think I'm preparing for it like it's gonna be the shit that honestly is, like, so
terrifying
deep in here that I don't
I'm,
know about
I'm yet. Stressed out I'm stressed out for you, but it's honestly for someone who's just I think mine like just how long do they last
three years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would say mine started in like the fall of 2021. I can't remember the exact date. Yeah. So maybe you can figure it out for me.
I can look it up.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, I kind of remember, but I don't.
But whenever it started, it honestly, it's been really tough, but it's truly like before my Saturn return, I had a terrible reputation. I'd never published any books. My life was kind of in shambles. Even though I definitely like didn't want it to change because it just like I think humans think change is scary. Like I think we're just creatures of routine and sameness and familiarity. But the past 3 years have like helped my life so much. Like I'm so much happy with how my life is.
Yeah.
Now,
it's like a lot, but like, I trust that like post Saturn return, it'll be like, okay, that was a lot, but like, where we're supposed to be now.
Yes. That's exactly how I feel about it. I feel like my dreams have come true, you know, like, even if it's in your 12th house, I bet you'll feel like your dreams have come true when it's all done and the dust is settled.
That's beautiful. Okay. That's so nice.
Well, I had to say something nice. 12th house, scary as fuck. Are you kidding me?
She said, my condolences. Here's maybe Fozzie.
I'm like, we absolutely need a small pep talk break right now.
Literally.
Yes. Okay, I think there's just one more thing that we want to talk about is a current like transit that you're going through. Well, everyone's going through it, but we're going to talk about it in regards to you. And that is Pluto. So Pluto was in your second house of like things you own, your possessions, mm-hmm. your money, your values from 2008 up until just earlier this year, up until March of this year. And then now currently, actually the day before your book, I'm explaining this so weirdly. It was in your second house. Then in March of this year, it moved into your third house. And then now is retrograding. And on June 11th, so the day before your book came out, it retrograded back into your second house. So you maybe see Pluto is a planet of like transformation and like death and rebirth. So like the major theme in your life since 2008 has been like your relationship to money and what you value mm-hmm. and everything. And I think it's so interesting that like then you came out of it, maybe like wrote the book when it was in your third house. And then as soon as like it came out, like maybe you're like
oh, wow.
going back to like reassessing and reflecting back on like those themes and like how they show up in your book. But Pluto does move back into your third house again in January. Yeah. So it'll move in January. It'll officially move back into your third house for the next 20 years. So like now you're going to totally transform your communications, how you like use social media, how you write. I'm just really excited for you.
Yeah. I love this. Thank you so much for honestly giving me the most fun astrological reading one could ever ask for. Like I'm just thinking of all the good times we had. There was Couch Boy, there was the spider, there was the talking about colors, there was
we had a lot of fun.
Yeah. No, I have one so more question though before we go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What was going on in my chart?
September 2019. Yeah, we're going to look.
And I have so much respect for you guys that you can do this math in your head, like that you can turn the
We're also Googling.
We're Googling. Okay, September. But... Do you have a specific date or just like
Yes, September 12th.
12th, 2019. Okay, let's see what's going on here. Okay, you had a ton of stuff in your 10th house, dude. Oh my God, what? It's all, you had the Sun, Mars, Mercury, and Venus all in your 10th house of public roles. And like Mars is directly on top of Jupiter, which like Mars is very much like why people do not like you, like on your Mars line on the map, like if you go to those places people usually don't like you there.
That is crazy.
Yeah, it's so wild.
I love this shit. See, this is
so people are coming for you publicly, essentially, which is what happened.
Oh, they were. I was not getting glowing reviews in the New Yorker and having champagne benders with my mom. Right. It was none of that. It was a different time.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's wild. Also,
Jupiter was transiting right on top of your sun and ascendant, like in your first house. So it's like
a
lot of you.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like that whole year was like
you on Twitter.
Yes.
It was too much of a main character moment, one might say. It was like I was like, I could be the side character for a while. I wouldn't mind.
Totally. Like,
I could be the sidekick now. I'm cool with it. First time I've ever said that in my whole Sagittarius life.
Literally.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Thank you so much. This was so much fun.
No, thank you so much. And also your voices are both so amazing, especially your voice, Danny. Like I love your little vocal fry. You're like, okay, so, and I just love it so much. Thank you so much. Yeah.
People on YouTube and TikTok don't always love it. So I really appreciate the compliment.
Yeah, they're jealous. They're jealous. Yeah, they don't get it. And please, 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 I want a personal text in our thread about what happens with Couch Boy when he gets back from Ibiza. Okay, amazing.
I'm literally done.
Have you asked him his birth date and time?
No, I don't think.
Well, I guess it's just not that serious then.
I'm also DMing his couch account. Like, I don't have a furniture account.
Sells couches professionally. What is going on?
Yes, it's like a local person that finds vintage furniture. Yeah.
Okay, and he has a couch account.
No, it's like his. I think it's like his full time gig.
Wow.
Yeah.
Kind of hot.
I'm honestly so jealous. The men in Florida really do. If you read my book, you'll hear me make lots of jokes about how they all have porn jobs. Like they all, they're plumbers and pool boys and they deliver pizzas and they're tennis coaches and they're surf instructors. And like what I would give for like a woke guy in a beanie with like stick and poke tattoos running a vintage couch account. I would give my left arm for that right now. Like I'm literally like, I'm so deprived of culture. Like I want the, Give me the vintage Couch Account boys. Like, where are they? They don't exist in Florida. There's not a single whole state. Well, okay, now someone's gonna find the one guy who does that right now.
He's here.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but this guy in fucking Boca Raton loves couches. But I have not met a single guy who has a vintage Couch Account in Florida, and I don't think I will. I'm not even getting my hopes up. But I do want an update on when he gets back from.
No, for sure.
Listen, I don't know if we know each other well enough for me to say this, so I'm not going to finish the sentence. I'm only going to say half of it. But you know where you have to fuck him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, and on that note, thank you.
Yeah. It's on the bucket list now. I have a friend, our Leo friend, her like new joke is that, like, because I keep being in these scenarios with hot people, and she's like, Aubrey, I don't know how many times I have to tell you, I think you should just take your shirt off in these scenarios.
I love it. I love
see
it.
See what happens. Just see what happens.
Honestly, try it once. And
also
include that information in the group text. Oh my god, we should add Alice to it.
Love it.
I'm gonna add her. Love I'm it. Gonna add her right
That's
now.
That's so cute. Okay, I love it. Okay.
Well, thank you so much for having you.
Also, I really loved the book. I don't even know if we said anything about the book. We loved reading it. Yes. So it was wonderful.
Thank you. I'm gonna mail you guys.
I read it on this couch. So well, yeah, that'd be great.
That's one of many things I hope you do on that couch. But I'll send you guys hard copies. I had a delightful time and it was so nice meeting you, and I can't wait for our next episode with Alice.
Yes. I know, we'll just keep going.
Oh my gosh, I hope I didn't mess up the recording.
No, you're good, but we're gonna get kicked off. So
okay,
it was
goodbye.
So nice to meet you.
Thank you.